Radio Darmstadt.
Mit dem Chaos Radio.
Radadadada.
Schönen guten Abend. Hier ist es erst der gute Name nach aus Amerika. Dieser erste Teil der Sendung von Cirada wird euch heute präsentiert von WBAI Radio aus New York. Wir werden zuerst ein wenig Off the Hook übertragen. Wie ihr das kennt, sicherlich hören der ein oder andere von euch schon mal Off the Hook, ist Off the Hook natürlich auf Englisch. And therefore we will do all the show in English. We're having all the crew over here who usually do Off the Hook, and after we had Off the Hook, we had said this often enough now, we will have some tours of German radio where you can call in on 06151780010. Hope to hear you calling then, and after Off the Hook. But now I first like to introduce all the people who do Off the Hook, as you are over there.
Hello, this is Emmanuel.
Good evening, this is Redbird.
I'm Mike.
Guten Abend, Darmstadt. It's Jim here, and that's about all the German I know.
Jim is the wise guy of the radio show.
Ja, und we will after that talk a bit about the American hacker scene, especially the New York hacker scene, a part of which I have now seen, and especially the upcoming American event, The Hope. I think all you want to say something about that?
The Great Hope Conference, yes. This is going to be our sixth Hope Conference, and that's why we named it Hope Number 6. We started in 1994, and every year we just kind of add new things, new features, new programs, new panels, and hopefully lots of new people. It's modeled a lot after the German conferences, the German and Dutch conferences, because when I went to Galactic Hacker Party in 89 and HEU in 93, everybody was telling me how something like this could never happen in the States. We could never have a big conference of hackers. And so in 1994, we decided to give it a shot in the middle of New York City, which is probably the least likely place you'd ever expect to succeed. And so we got the Hotel Pennsylvania right across the street from Penn Station and somehow managed to get a whole bunch of people to show up and give a bunch of talks. And it was the biggest hacker conference in the States at that point. And we've been able to do it every between 2 and 3 years since. And now every even year we do a Hope Conference.
So we are proud to talk about that a bit. And I think now we first have a little Off the Hook Radio.
Dear listeners, this is Indra Hardat, Interim General Manager of WBAI. I would like to take this opportunity to thank our producers, our volunteers, and all of you who pledged for our recent winter fund drive. With your support, we were able to raise approximately $900,000. With your support, we can continue to provide the award-winning programs that are part of our history. It will also help us sustain our commitment to commercial-free community-sponsored radio that educates, informs, enlightens, activates, and sometimes even inspires. Thank you so very much for your continued support. And please honor your pledge. Thank you.
And it's just about 7 o'clock on this Wednesday evening, and that means Off the Hook time.
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving, now I can't make a call. We couldn't get much worse, but if they could, they would. Oh, Lily Bomb for the best, expect the worst. Understood, but did we know?
And good evening, everybody. The program is Off the Hook. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Wednesday evening, where we take a look at the world of high technology and all the other fun things that are going on around us. With us tonight is Jim.
Bonsoir.
And Mike.
Hi there.
Redbird.
Good evening.
McFly joins us from Germany.
Hello.
And we also have Arseny.
Hi.
And Walter.
Hello.
Okay, great. We have another packed studio. And we don't have Bernie S. tonight because he is still feeling the Hungarian flu, believe it or not. That's a keeper, that. when you get sick over there, it's for a while. Okay, story of the day. Yes, if you can believe it, this particular song is in the news all over again. And it's because of events over in England. Some guy named Haraj Mann was playing this song in a taxi. Here's how it works over there. You basically are able to plug your MP3 player or whatever into the taxi, which is kind of cool, and then you can sort of sing along with the song that you want to sing along to. It's kind of cool. Now, this guy was singing along to this song as he was driving to the airport with a taxi driver, obviously, and apparently the lyrics that he was singing out loud were, London calling from the faraway towns. Now war is declared and battle come down. London calling to the underworld, come out of the cupboard, you boys and girls. Apparently that didn't sit well with the taxi driver, who reported the passenger to the authorities. He was dragged off the airplane that he was on and questioned at length. He missed his flight. It's simply unbelievable. This story happened, the incident happened last Wednesday. It's just hitting the media today. What do you guys think about this?
The first thing I want to know is what taxi driver would agree to have this installed in their taxi.
Apparently it's something big over there. That's an interesting little feature. But not really the issue here. The issue is how people are reacting to this increased security alert.
I have a message to taxi drivers, authorities, and others concerned, and that is that, like, sensible terrorists do not sing about their plans or destruction in the presence of people who are not already privy to them.
And also, they have this thing called security checks on the way into the airplane, too. And just because somebody is singing a song that you might not like doesn't mean that they're somehow going to thwart security in addition and do something bad. It's probably just your own paranoia. And the fact that the guy's name is Haraj Mann, obviously he was the wrong ethnic persuasion. His skin was a little too dark, perhaps. Who knows? Jim?
This reminds me of an incident that took place more than 30 years ago. One of the writers of the musical 1776 was polishing it up on an airplane flight, and somebody took umbrage to his trying to compose lyrics with democracy and freedom and tyranny.
How about just the fact that he was singing out loud in an airplane?
Well, he was like under his breath, if I recall the story correctly. And he was pulled over, and this was way before terrorism hit. So
I find that when I mutter under my breath on an airplane, people do tend to take an interest.
You're a little different from many of us. Mutter under your breath anywhere, and people take an interest.
You're welcome to give it a shot, you know, and see what people do. But I don't know. Let's listen to the offensive lyrics for a second.
I was there too, and you know what they said. Well, some of it was true. London calling at the top of the dial. And after all this, won't you give me a smile? London calling. I never felt so much alike.
Well, Mr. Mann is a mobile phone salesman of Indian origin. He missed his flight to Heathrow last Thursday because of the security check. And sorry, our CD player is malfunctioning. And he missed his flight because of that and took a taxi back to Hartlepool. And he said he was questioned under the Terrorism Act.
Which is more or less, the Terrorism Act is more or less Britain's version of the USA Patriot Act.
Similar. It's unbelievable, though, that this kind of thing happens and it's considered not that unusual. I mean, people are jumping on the story now, but you just look a little bit suspicious. You look a little bit different, and all of a sudden, you're someone who needs to be questioned some more. But I want to know is who's the taxi driver? I think we should be reporting idiots. If you see an idiot, report that to some authority. Because this guy was responsible for all kinds of delays, all kinds of invasions of people's privacy, and I think that's a bigger threat to the system than some guy singing along to The Clash. But we don't get to find out that guy's name. He's protected for some reason. He can do stupid things like this.
There's a lot of idiots. It would be a very long list.
It would be a long list. That's true. But imagine if you were able to get them all in one place and just, you know, let them live in their particular continent and everybody else could get on with something else. McFly.
Well, if you go in the subway here in New York, you hear very often, if you see something, say something.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean if you see anything, say every, you know, well, these people are reporting the slightest little things.
Yeah, this is what I mean. Isn't this a kind of denial of service attack? Everybody just would.
Absolutely.
Well,
absolutely.
I think nearly everything, if we see this, nearly everything is suspicious. We just should say every time something and we'll get rid of this problem soon.
I mean, look, the guy reporting this was an idiot, obviously, but the authorities listening to him simply because some guy is singing to a song, that's enough to pull someone off an airplane?
This gives an opportunity for 2600 meetings. I mean, people have occasionally bemoaned the lack of culture at these meetings. We should form choruses and sing.
Let's not.
Various lyrics. I was thinking, this is good. Boomtown Rats, I don't like Mondays. Shoot it all down, you know, the lyrics.
Yeah, but we have the meetings on Fridays anyway, so.
I know, but what I'm saying is, you know, we could just be
all right,
in places.
All right, we got it.
Yeah. You know, I was talking to some people about this online earlier. There are people who have never heard The Clash. It's music their parents listen to. I've never felt so out of touch before, but if you can believe that, this is music that their parents listen to. And how do you rebel against that? How do you rebel against The Clash, you know? I mean, when we were kids, what, it was our parents listened to what, Perry Como or Al Jolson? I don't even know.
Who are you asking? That's what I want to know.
Okay, but, you know, the weird thing is that music changes so quickly, and something that you think is revolutionary actually becomes the mainstream. This guy is singing along to a mainstream song, something that his parents or someone else's parents would be listening to.
You know, this leads into something about people reporting way too much. Walden Books and Borders, I suggest a boycott of them because of what they're about to do. They're barring a magazine called Free Inquiry. The April-May issue is coming out, and the reason that they're doing this ahead of the issue coming out is because they're publishing the cartoons of the Prophet Muhammad printed last year in a Danish newspaper. They're doing this way ahead of any threat of protest, any protest, or even the appearance of the magazine. And the editor-in-chief of the magazine Free Inquiry, which is published by the Council for Secular Humanism in Amherst, New York, and I quote, this is a great quote, "To refuse to distribute a publication because of fear of vigilante violence is to undermine freedom of press, which is so vital for our democracy."
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you're not a subscriber, if you pick up 2600 on the newsstand, please try to find it somewhere else other than Borders, Walden Books, and if possible, buy your other books somewhere else than Borders and Walden Books.
Well, are there bookstores that are carrying this magazine?
Free Inquiry? I've seen it at Barnes & Noble's.
Uh-huh.
And I've seen 2600 at Barnes & Noble's.
Yeah, we're in all those places, but are they going to carry the issue that has these cartoons?
I don't know. The only article I've seen about people barring Free Inquiry is Borders and Walden Books. They've come out and said this already, sort of preempting any possible theoretical unlikely problems.
It's amazing times we live in. Like I've been saying to some people, we have printed a caricature of the Prophet Muhammad in 2600, but we're not going to tell you where it is.
Heathen.
It's in there someplace, though.
Infidel.
And since you don't know what he looks like, you're going to have a hard time finding it. But that's just the nature of confusion. Okay, anything else going on that's exciting? Any other technological developments you guys want to pass along? Yes, Jim.
I have something that is about 10 years too late for us. Some people may know, Emmanuel and myself and a few other people who have appeared on this show in the past used to be part of a hacker collective called Network Development Labs years gone by. And one day, one of our members came in and said that there was a dumpster full of 286 machines. And of course, we couldn't take advantage of this. But now, if you find a dumpster full of computer parts, books, anything great, there's a service in New York City that would be useful for you. It's called GarbageScout.com, and it's been up since January, and it has a map service, and you can give a location and describe the stuff that's in there and even post a photo. So if you're in New York City, and I'm sure that they'll expand this to other places, and you find something on the curb and you may not want it, go to GarbageScout.com and post this, and somebody will thank you, either in person or...
Well, I just wanted to add that you need a Web 2.0-enabled browser to go to that website.
What exactly is a Web 2.0-enabled browser?
Oh, it's very complicated.
Well, why don't you tell us since you brought it up?
I think you're stretching this out. I was just making a joke.
Ah, okay. Well, you see, our listeners don't know that. Not all of our listeners know. They're going to freak out and think, Web 2.0, oh my God, what do I have to do now? Yeah, it's maddening. Okay, our email address, oth@2600.com. Of course, we always like hearing from our listeners, and we'll be taking phone calls in a little bit as well. But I'd like to catch up on some mail that we've gotten over the past couple of weeks. We haven't had a chance to get to all of it. Here's a writer from Brazil. I was doing some random dialing here, and I was wondering the significance of the different busy signals I get. For instance, sometimes I get something like 2222. That is the same tone repeating. Actually, I'm sort of doing it wrong. It should be 2222, like that, all one after another. But other times I get 2222222, a short and a long tone.
Now, how did he type that out?
He did TU-TU. U.
Oh, gotcha.
In all caps. The short pattern only appears after dialing the last digit. so it might be a standard busy line signal. The short long pattern usually appears even before dialing the last digit, but this is not the usual reorder signal I know of. Do you know anything about it? Well, every country is a little bit different. I know that the phone engaged signal, sometimes it's just a single tone, or sometimes it's just, it sounds like a fast ring in some countries. In your case, I think one time you're getting a bad number. The first one with the short ones might be you dialing the wrong number or something because you're getting it immediately. It's possible the second one is a busy tone. The only way to find out is do things like call yourself, see what it sounds like when you do that. Call numbers immediately surrounding the one that you're dialing now, and you might be able to figure it out that way. That letter comes from E-Typecase. Thanks for writing in from Brazil. Here's a letter from Finland. I've listened to your show some time now, and something came to mind. I live in Finland, a small Scandinavian country that you might have heard about in Conan O'Brien's show. And I didn't realize it was a real country. I thought it was something he invented. What I've been noticing are the same things you guys speak about all the time on the show. Our rights are being taken away. The worst part about it in Finland is that no one seems to be doing anything about it. From phone tapping to freedom of speech, it's all being reconsidered in our government. The latest thing that I think is worth mentioning is the Muhammad Pictures scandal. Suomen Sisu organization posted the pictures on their website, which is www.suomensisu.org. To demonstrate for the freedom of speech, which is the constitutional right in Finland, too. But what is interesting now in all this is that the National Bureau of Investigation of Finland, I didn't know about them, is investigating if that organization is committing a criminal act in doing this. And that investigation has been going on since January. Of course, there are also the busts of BitTorrent users and tracker admins. This is only the beginning, and I think Finland is on the same track as the U.S., only some time behind. I hope I don't have to witness it. Signed, Ranu from Helsinki. And thanks for writing in, letting us know how things are declining over there. What's the scene like in Germany, McFly?
In principle, it's the same, not so hard, and we're a bit behind, and we hope to fight it at least a bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you guys have always been an inspiration to us. At least the CCC has always been able to do things and do them well and get support behind them.
I want to update something that a caller called about last week, and we didn't get time to fully cover it. A caller proposed an encryption scheme involving one-time pads where A adds his key to the message and sends it to B.
This is the one where you said it wouldn't work and you wouldn't tell us why.
Yes. Well,
okay, well, are you going to tell us why this time?
No, I'm going to tell you why. All right. Sarif and I took a few minutes after the show last week to figure out exactly the problem. And if it turns out that if you take the two messages encrypted with a single key, so the first message in the scheme and the third message in the scheme, you add them together, and then you subtract the middle message, which is the message encrypted with both keys, then the net result is the plain text message. So an eavesdropper could easily get the original message transmitted with this scheme, which is proof that you should use one-time pads only once for any sort of security.
I'll bet it feels better getting that off your chest there.
Well, I don't want to just dismiss our listeners without, you know, telling them why.
Why you're dismissing them.
Yes.
Okay. Arseny.
This actually reminds me of something some person made. It's a little program that lets you take any file and then add another file to it, and then you can use that same file. You can take that same file out so you get the original file. So what they want to do is, I guess you could take an MP3, which is illegal, and add this like little file to it, making it a completely different file. So the argument is that new file illegal or not?
Yes, McFly.
Well, this is even the problem of stenographics, I think it's called, where you can, for example, put some information in pictures where you just bitmap, where you just get a color bit lighter or darker, one bit, and you can represent, you can hide messages in that, for example, blow up something or...
Right, you're talking about using the least significant bits in images and audio files and stuff like that, so you can't hear or see a difference, but there's actually other content there.
Well, exactly. I think the term is steganography, and about the pad and cryptography and quantum cryptography, I think you can avoid a lot of the problems with eavesdropping of any channel. You can always tell if a quantum channel has been eavesdropped on because of the Heisenberg uncertainty principle.
I see. Okay. Interesting. Our phone number 212-209-2900. We'll be taking phone calls in just a little bit, but let's read a couple more pieces of email. And again, you can write to us, oth@2600.com. We had quite a bit of response to the caller last week who had the mystery charges on their cell phone bill. Let's see, this guy writes in.
You're referring to the guy who used a calling card to call another country?
Yeah, he was calling Jamaica, I believe.
Right.
And he had all sorts of things rack up on his bill. Now, this person writes in, I'd formerly been one of those telephone monkeys outsourced to look after customer care for a wireless company, now taken over by Singular. What he most likely did was dial the carrier access number, the 1-800 number, and mostly followed their instructions and dialed the Jamaica number that he wanted to call. And then he pressed send again and initiated a three-way call or call waiting with line one connected to the 1-800 call and line two connected to the long-distance call at exorbitant rates. It's another example of how two different technologies used together in ways not originally expected, three-way calling and calling cards, can lead to unexpected risks. And thanks, Grant, for writing in on that.
We had an interesting problem when the phone tapping on cellular phones came, well, mobile phones came more in the site in Germany. The phone company, as they didn't pay the wiretapping by the state, charged the people getting tapped for the cost of being tapped on the phone bill, which has been quite interesting for 2 months.
You're saying that it would show up in the phone bill that, by the way, you're being tapped right now?
Yes, and you would have to pay it. And, well, it was only a big mistake, and we all take it back, and you never have been phone tapped, but
oh,
this
boy.
Has never happened.
That's awesome.
It was O2, by the way.
Another letter, actually, from someone else named Grant. Hi, guys. I just wanted to say that I love the show. You're unlike any other radio station I've heard before. It's great to know that you provide such an open forum for free speech, and other radio stations most likely would not touch this. Although I live in the UK at the moment, it's good to know I can listen no matter where I am in the world. To the point, at the end of your last show, there was a complaint about an international phone card being used, which caused a bit of a bill of several $1,000s. I had the same experience with my phone here about 4 months ago. I dialed the number given on the card and followed the instructions to call Australia. However, my phone dropped out a lot faster than I expected. I had managed to use up my £10 of credit on my phone in no time, and since then, I've never used a card to dial from a mobile. I'm still not sure the reason why this was, and it was lucky that I wasn't on a plan. Otherwise, I may not have noticed and received a fairly large bill also. I have a card in front of me now, and I noticed that they have several numbers, one of which is labeled from a mobile. From memory, this number wasn't on my last one, and I don't know whether that was the problem or not. I'm sure this has happened to a lot of people as well. It's a conspiracy by the phone companies to increase profits. And that from Grant A. Believe it or not, different Grant. Both writing in on the same thing. I don't know what the odds of that are.
Well, a lot of the European countries have different calling schemes and charges for things, but there's a lot of controversy locally here in New York about calling cards and people purchasing cards that offer a certain amount of minutes or a certain value, a currency value, and they're just not getting anywhere near what the face value of that is. And so there's all sorts of investigations going into that now. I don't know all the details, but it's something to look into.
Interesting. Here's a letter from Germany. I'm an exchange student. I read about your radio show in a computer. I read about it in a computer security book some weeks ago. 2 days ago, I was sitting in a bookshop and enjoying myself until the cell phone of some random woman began to ring. The ring itself was bad enough, but then she talked, 150 decibels or so. The whole bookshop could listen. It was so annoying, I finally asked her to go outside. Actually, he might be in the States. He says he's an exchange student from Germany, so I guess maybe he's in the States and marveling at the sound of our voices. Things like this happen to me every single day. It is bad enough that cell phones exist, but how people use them without even considering that it might annoy somebody when they talk in such a high volume. That makes me want to have a law, something that doesn't allow cell phones in some places. I'd be glad to hear your opinions about this. Signed, ZB. Keep the conspiracy going.
We were actually guilty of this the other week. Remember?
No, you were guilty of this.
Well, we were all listening, and I was told by many people to put it on speakerphone.
You were told by your own mind.
let's just straighten it out here for all the people that got involved in this altercation. All right, we were in a place, and in fact, we were going to call that number that we were calling. We found this number. It's a really cool number that gives out your unlisted name and address if you give it a phone number. Sort of like something we did before, but they're still doing it. And and we were testing it out in the place that we were in, and you wanted everybody to hear, so you put your phone on speakerphone, much to the chagrin of everybody else in the establishment.
Everybody wanted to hear. Everybody at the table wanted to hear.
I did not get my ballot. I never voted on that issue.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think most of the people sitting there were equally as guilty.
And before I forget, something else that we did after the show last week. We really should talk about this a little bit. We were just waiting for a bus, and in the street we noticed, what was it, a yellow box?
It was one of those little, I think it was orange or yellow
orange,
or something.
It doesn't matter the color, but it
turned
was,
out to be one of those boxes that they put on the side of the street.
You know, with the big rubber hose that goes all the way across the street, and the cars go over it, and it counts, I guess, the number of cars.
Right. And so I think it was Mike who first kind of started stomping on it, and I was curious if it was actually counting his stomps or not. And so I go to the box, and there's a little notch for a padlock on there, and it wasn't locked at all. Uh-huh. And so I just kind of opened the box, and, you know, there was the counter, and, you know, it was up to, I don't know, 500 and something thousand.
500 and something thousand?
Oh, yeah, or even... Yeah, 500 and something.
You sure
thousand.
Wasn't 50,000?
No. I think 500.
That's number of cars that went by that day.
Number of axles.
Number of axles. Yeah. Okay, that's a lot of axles.
I'm pretty sure it was high like that.
Okay. Now, was it a digital display?
It was an interesting digital display with an RS-232 port and a couple of other things. And
so basically, it just counts the number of axles or people stomping on the thing.
Or people stomping. Yeah.
Did you actually observe as you stomped?
Yes.
Yes. Actually.
And every time you stomped, it counted.
And yeah. then my finger accidentally slipped.
Oh,
in.
It did not. We said, what would happen if we do this? And we did it. I don't have any problems with this. Anybody in the city wants to come up and talk to us about it, fine. But you shouldn't leave your damn boxes on the sidewalk unlocked, all right?
Well, there was a cool reset button.
Yeah, a reset button, and you pushed it.
I slipped. I was pushed. Uh-huh. I tripped
fine.
Something.
You know, your stories are getting less and less credible.
So this might be the reason why the traffic survey on Water Street shows zero cars going by last week instead of 500,000 or however many axles.
It was high like that. It was something like that.
So this is how simple it is to completely screw up the infrastructure. And I guess they're never going to repave this street now or something.
Now we know why there are so many cars in Manhattan. People like you have gone ahead and essentially told the Department of Transportation, well, you know, there are no cars going by, none at all.
But, you know, there was another one on the other side of the street that was also unlocked, and we were able to open that one and see how many were going downtown. So I guess if they ever do finalize this study, they're going to show that everybody's heading downtown and nobody's going uptown, and maybe that'll help rebuild downtown, you know, because everybody wants to be there. Arseny?
Well, it was really stupid because there was actually a lock, like, next to the pole that was holding the chain together. Uh-huh. And the chain, I guess, was holding the box. And they could have just used that same padlock to keep it locked. They really didn't even need two locks.
Who knows? Who knows what goes through their minds? But, it's a bit of mischief. You know, you should be careful when you look at things like this, but you should always look at things. I wouldn't have hit the reset button, although I'm glad you did because it gives us something to talk about. But I think they got it coming.
I slipped.
Yeah, you slipped. speaking of cell phone manners, did you hear about what happened in Brooklyn yesterday? This is an unbelievable story. There actually was a riot yesterday in Brooklyn. You heard about this, Jim?
Yes. I'm concerned with all things Brooklyn.
In Borough Park, residents rushed to the 66th Precinct House chanting "No justice, no peace" to protest what witnesses say was the rough treatment of a 75-year-old Hasidic business owner by police. Now, get this: the guy was basically approached by police. You know what the offense was? Talking on his cell phone in his car. What do you think about that?
We had this discussion.
Yeah. Well, no, it's kind of interesting though, because apparently he didn't do what they commanded him to do, and that always rubs me the wrong way when police command you to do something like you work for them or something, and the reaction to him not obeying them immediately was them dragging him out of his car, and roughing him up in various ways, according to witnesses. Now, what's particularly interesting about this this charge of talking on the cell phone? Do you know he was parked in his car?
Oh.
He was double parked. He was double parked on a street talking on a cell phone in front of his family-owned bakery in 16th Avenue around 6:30 p.m.
What is it relevant that the bakery is family-owned?
I don't know. It's just in the story. I guess they thought it was a nice touch. So when police attempted to handcuff the guy, two other Hasidic men tried to step in. A crowd then formed, and the scene quickly grew unruly. And I say, God bless them. You know, I wish New Yorkers had everybody else's back like this, because whenever cops do something like this, you have to step in and object. I mean, the guy sitting in a car, not even moving, talking on a cell phone, And what? That's a big issue? McFly.
I had to pay €25 for that in Germany also.
For what? Double parking or talking on a phone?
Parking with a car and talking on the phone. The car was switched off.
So what did they give you a ticket for?
For phoning in the car.
For phoning in the car? It's not moving. It's not even on.
Phoning. Well, the key was in the lock.
Uh-huh.
And as it is when you're drunk, when the key is in the lock, you are guilty of
even if the car isn't running. The car wasn't running.
Yes, if you sit in the driver's seat and the key is in the lock, it is the same as the car's running.
There is a long history in the United States of courts ruling that if you are in the driver's seat, definitely if the keys are in the ignition, even if the engine is off, definitely if the keys are in the ignition, sometimes the courts rule this even if the keys are not in the ignition, if you are in the driver's seat, almost everything that would be applied if you were moving still goes. Driving drunk, driving unsafely, talking on a cell phone. Even if the car is stopped, if you are in the driver's seat, they still get
you. So if you pull over and take a nap, you're going to get charged with driving while sleeping?
I was once in a situation with that. As everyone knows, I don't drive. With a girlfriend at the time, no one anyone knows, we pulled over and we were nearly arrested for that, essentially. She was dead tired, couldn't drive anymore. I couldn't drive. And yeah, it was an appropriate place to stop, even though there was a giant shoulder way off the whole bit.
I just think cops have better things they should be doing than looking for people talking
on
cell
exactly?
phones.
You should call
Well, I don't know, something. Maybe taking their SATs again or something.
Checking
I
up
don't
on
know.
People who are singing along to The Clash, perhaps. The other interesting thing about this altercation in Brooklyn is that a supposed witness on television said that when the cops approached the guy and attempted to issue him a ticket and or arrest him, whatever, it's unclear exactly what they want to do, he could not understand them because he is hard of hearing, according to the witness. Now, which leads to the question, well, then, why is he on his cell phone?
Well, he could have had some kind of
well,
device.
Yeah, exactly. But still, it's there's a lot of weird stuff going on here.
Uh-huh. Yes, McFly.
Yeah, you should call the police more often that you see something suspicious so they don't have any more time to...
I actually call the police a lot. Not a lot, but more than most people because I report things. Like the other day, I saw a traffic light that was stuck green in the wrong direction and it was, you know, traffic was piling up. And it's weird what your cell phone does when you call the police. My cell phone, I use Verizon, it locks up. It goes into emergency mode. And you have to hit a button to get it out of that mode. And then about 10 minutes later, it makes a little ding-dong noise. I don't know what that even means. So I'm not suggesting people call the police, but when you do, take notice of how it works because it's kind of interesting.
Did you try to call them with *677?
Why would I do that? I dialed 911.
That's good because supposedly there are faxes and emails popping up all over telling people that on their cell phone they should call the police with *677.
That means you're dialing 7 because *677 is blocked caller ID.
Well, apparently, I may have the number wrong. This was a news story the other day. But apparently this only works in Ontario, and I'm sure someone from Ontario will call us with the correct number.
I don't know why it would work in Ontario or anywhere else for that matter.
I have an interesting cop story somewhat related to a story I think we talked about 2 weeks ago, which was that cops shouldn't be enforcing radio-related things. And I think we were talking about a pirate operator or something on what
in
near
Florida, yeah.
Anyway, I was in the park yesterday, actually, playing on HF in the amateur radio bands, and I had a box full of mostly homebrew equipment, like a little QRP transceiver and, you know, CW key and stuff like that. And it was dusk, and the park's signs state that, you know, the park closes at dusk, and so my car was still parked there, and, you know, a cop comes along and makes a lot of noise with his sirens and his horns, and I start taking down my antennas and packing everything up and whatever. So I walk up to him, and he's like, "Anyone else back there?" And no, not that I know of. And what were you doing back there anyway? And it's a park, and so I wasn't sure if this was the sort of question that would be appropriate. Anyway, so I basically told him, I was playing with the radio. Mm-hmm. And he goes, what do you mean playing with the radio? And I was like, I was listening to shortwave, and I show him this box of like all basically homemade junk. And he goes, what?
See, this is your mistake, Joe. Your next response is to ask him, am I being detained? And if the answer is no, just leave. You don't have to explain to the cop why you're standing around in a park.
That might work on the little ACLU card, but it doesn't work in real life, okay? Because they'll do what they did to the guy in Brooklyn. They'll tackle you, they'll drag you away, and there won't be a crowd of people to like burn fires in the middle of the street to protect
you. And that's the problem. It was me and him and no one for like probably half a mile or so.
Yeah, well, it could have killed you right there, buried buried the body, and that would have been it. we wouldn't have asked any questions.
Well, the thing is, you want to sort of get on his nice side so that if anything does end up happening, you know, it's not so serious.
So did he succeed in getting on his nice side?
Oh, it was fine. I mean, he was basically just like, get out of here. But he totally didn't understand the concept of what I was doing and why I would want to be there and whatever. So it was just pretty interesting.
How come cops always get to tell you to get out of here? Can't you ever tell a cop, you get out of here? You know, I'd like to do that.
I've tried. It doesn't work.
Yeah, it doesn't work, does it?
Well, it works in your homeland.
Well.